Amen. Why don't you go ahead and take a seat? And while you're doing that, you can turn to the book of Titus, chapter 3. Titus is kind of near the end of your Bibles if you have never been to that book before, but that's where we're going to be camped out this morning. So this is week 2 of our fall kickoff. So usually, every September, we spend some amount of time reminding ourselves about why we exist as a church. You know, what are we here for? What is our mission and our vision? And, you know, specifically, North Peace Church, why do we exist? What are we on about here at this church? So we've called this little 2-week series Redeeming the Time. Because of what Paul says in Ephesians 5, he says this: look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. And so last week, and we're not going to recap all of it, but last week we said, you know, there's this tendency when things get hard or frustrating or annoying or suffering or pain happens, we can have this mindset, well, we're just going to just hunker down and we're just going to wait it out, right? We're not going to do anything. Let's just kind of retreat a little bit and just wait for all of this stuff to blow over. And so we said, well, really, that's a profoundly unbiblical idea. Because notice that Paul in Ephesians 5, he doesn't say, hey, the times are evil, so don't do anything, right? Be safe and hunker down and don't do anything. No, Paul says, be wise, not unwise. But he says, make the best use of the time. Literally, that means redeem the time or purchase or buy back the time. And so we talked about last week that even though there is a very real tendency where we just kind of shift it into neutral and bunker down and not do anything until it's all over, and you know, after this is all done, then we'll get back to church and school and work and all these other things. And how do we actually redeem the time? So we won't go over all of it. I would encourage you to listen to last week's message where we went over what our mission and our vision is and how God sometimes forces his church out through exactly this, through pain and suffering and frustration and hardship. God actually pushes the church out during those times. And so we ended last week saying, okay, this is how God seems to operate. So then practically, how do we ourselves, how do we see us growing and multiplying and doing mission in the season that we're living in? Like, what would that actually look like? So I'm going to do my absolute best to be as practical as I can this morning. Now, I know for some of you, because this is kind of my tendency as well, you want, right, you have the pen ready and you want, right, you're hoping that the sermon title is like 6 ways to be on mission during COVID. For some of you, man, that is like your bread and butter. You want that. Like, tell me the 5 or 6 things that I have to do so then after I leave, I can just kind of like check, done, ready to go. And so I'm going to do my absolute best to give you a couple of really practical things that you can hold on to. But I am convinced more and more as I follow Jesus, the motivation behind what we do is sometimes even more important than what we do, right? And I think this is actually the unique thing about the gospel and about following Jesus as compared to every other worldview. What we do, like, don't hear me wrong, what we do is super important. Our obedience in following Jesus is very important, but I would say even more important than what you do is why you do it. Right? And Jesus, think about Jesus, even in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus over and over and over just drilled this home. Because if you were to look at the Pharisees, if it was just based on what you do, they were nailing it. They were obeying perfectly. And yet, what does Jesus say to them? Your hearts are far from God. Like, you're doing externally all of these great things, but you don't even love God. And so Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, we studied this years ago, think about what he would often say. He would say, you know, you've heard that it was said, don't murder. And people would go, yeah, check, I've never murdered anyone. And he says, but I tell you the truth, if you're angry at your brother, it's like, it's the same thing. It's as if you've murdered him in your heart. And people go, oh, Or Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. And lots of people could go, yes, check. I have never committed adultery. And Jesus says, but I tell you the truth. If you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. So Jesus, over and over and over again, drilled down to the heart issue, not just outwardly obeying perfectly. And so we want to discuss this morning, well, what are ways that we can respond and make disciples and multiply during COVID? You know, the what, but even more so, I would say, it's the how, meaning what is the attitude and the motivation and the posture that you and I are going to take as we seek to obey Jesus. So here's what I'm seeing. I said last week I want to talk about the two big responses that I'm seeing from Christians as they're responding to this season that we're living in. And listen, it's no surprise that most Christians, we do this for everything. We go to opposite polar extremes. And the church does this. We just swing to one extreme, or we swing to another, or half the church swings over here and half the church swings over here, rather than kind of a middle, nuanced, thoughtful approach to things. And again, I've been following Jesus for coming up on 20 years, and I think the middle, nuanced approach is how Jesus wants us to live. Because, like, think about it. We do this for everything, right? The age-old debate. You know, do we choose God, or does God choose us? And there are Christians who are like, you have to decide. It's one or the other. And they're living on the extreme polar opposites. But what if it's both? Right? Or we could just give example after example after example. We're not going to... Well, I'll give you one more. So race is a very hot topic in our culture right now. Especially in America, but in here too, around the world, race and racism is a very hot topic. And when things began to explode in the States and all of this outrage over things that are happening, I saw Christians respond in two ways. Either it was, that's so dumb. White lives matter. All lives matter. Racism doesn't exist. This is an overreaction. Or I saw Christians going, tear down statues. We have to apologize for things that happened centuries ago that we weren't involved in. Both responses are wrong, right? But there's the polar extremes. Christians, we do this for everything. So here's the two responses I'm seeing to this whole, you know, COVID season that we're living in. This is how I'm observing Christians respond. The first reaction I'm seeing is one that is based in a lot of fear and anxiety. And I would say not so much, well, maybe, but not so much fear of the virus, but more so fear of, well, any step that I take, anything I do, or anything we do as a church, like, what if? What if someone got sick? What if our community then has a negative view of us? And it seems like almost every decision some churches and some Christians make is all based on fear. I don't want my reputation tarnished in the community. So I'm seeing lots of churches respond with like, okay, well, no communion, no baptisms, no singing, no gathering, just stay at home. And then once this is all over, whew, we can come back and our reputation won't be tarnished in the community. A lot of decisions made in fear. That's one extreme. The second reaction is almost the exact opposite. And it's this, what I would call almost an arrogant response from Christians, where they go, you know, COVID is dumb. It's not even real. Faith over fear. God will protect us, right? We have nothing to be afraid of. And there's almost this attitude of shaming people. What? You're actually afraid of it? Like, are you even a Christian? And this attitude of, and you would never verbalize it, but the actions that you take are saying, as a Christian, I'm better than everyone else because God will protect me. And then there's this pushback, right, on any order or recommendation or rule because we see it as an attack against Christianity. So let me give you a very, very real practical example of this. I think most of you know that an event took place near here not that long ago. A Christian event, a gathering for worship and prayer or whatever. And I watched promo videos from some of the speakers, interviews about this event, and this was the comments that were made. So I'm quoting them. I'm not taking this out of context. They said, yep, we're going to have hand sanitizer. We'll do our best to follow all the rules. But the comment was made, but COVID has no authority over us. So come on out. We have nothing to be afraid of. People are going to be healed as soon as they walk onto the property. So COVID has no authority over us. And if you know, a bunch of people got sick. And then the response is where I really wrestled with it, because then news media outlets got a hold of it. And people were a little bit upset, rightfully so. And the response then from some of the leaders of this event was, well, yeah, a bunch of people got sick, but God did amazing things. And one leader said, well, I guess it's illegal to be a Christian now. We can't even gather. And it was an arrogant response. It was arrogant. And that's what troubled me, going, listen, you're not actually responding in a Christ-like manner. You're responding arrogantly. Now, I think both of those ways, right? Living in fear, and every step you take is going, and biting your nails, hoping that you're not out of line. And then also the arrogant response of, bah, who cares? Let's just do whatever we want. Both are wrong. And so we want to ask, okay, well, what practically can we do as a church to not respond like that, but to really glorify God, make disciples, and multiply? So the book of Titus, our passage for this morning in chapter 3, I think it gives us an answer to that question. How do we respond? So just to set some context, the book of Titus was written by the Apostle Paul to a man named Titus. I mean, Paul had completed a missionary journey to the island of Crete and planted some churches, and then he had left Titus behind, and he said, I want you to make sure that these churches are properly established. And then some false teachers had kind of crept into these churches, and Paul is writing Titus, and he says, here's what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to instruct the churches to live, and here's what it means to follow Jesus. So chapter 3, I think it's very applicable to where we're at. Starting in verse 1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Some of you are like, I hate this already. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. So here's Paul. He's challenging the church. This is how I want you to live your lives. Like, what should your life look like as you seek to follow Jesus? And I mean, some of the things he's listed, they're very convicting for the day and age that we live in. Submit to authority, be obedient, do good works, speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, show perfect courtesy to people. So even just think about our season of life, right? Be submissive to rulers and authorities. I think more often than not, if I am honest, and I've been wrestling with this all week, more often than not, I am not submissive to authorities. I just spend time slandering authorities because I may disagree with some of the things that they do. And I go, they're idiots. They have no idea what they're talking about. This is so dumb. And I just slander them. And some people have said, well, I mean, this is Paul. Paul, you don't really know the struggles that we're going with as you're telling us to submit to authority and how silly this all is. It's like, whoa, time out for a second. This is Paul, who lived during the time of the Caesars, who lived during occupational armies, Colosseums, Christians being crucified and beheaded. So I think he knows what it means to submit to authorities that you don't agree with. But I think for most of us, if we're honest, right, just be honest with yourself. Being respectful and submissive to authority just doesn't happen, and we just spend our times complaining and slandering authority because we don't agree with what they're doing. And listen, this is not doormat Christianity that people go, well, fine, Christians are just supposed to be walked all over. No. This is actually an exercise of strength by you not responding evil with evil. This is you exercising self-control. So think, even go on, do good works. I think that includes doing good works within the body, but also good works in our community among unbelievers so that people see them and give glory to God the Father. And we're going to get to that a little bit later. What are some good works that we could do in this season? Speak evil of no one. Harder and harder, I think, in the days that we're living in. I see people making decisions that maybe I disagree with, and I can very quickly speak evil of them. Just absolutely slam people that I don't agree with. Avoid quarreling, Paul says. Be gentle. It's getting harder and harder to do this in the day we live in. We quarrel over everything in this day and age. We quarrel over how serious or how not serious COVID is. We quarrel over whether you should wear a mask or you shouldn't wear a mask. We just bicker and we fight over those things. We quarrel over everything. And listen, Paul's not saying you can never disagree. That's not what he's saying, right? You can have your thoughts and your opinions about things, but what quarreling is when you and I were harsh with one another instead of being gentle with people that we disagree with. Show perfect courtesy to people, Paul says. Again, very similar to not speaking evil and not quarreling, but am I showing perfect courtesy to people, even people that I disagree with? So think about that, right? If you have a discussion with someone and you disagree with them, does that person still leave that conversation going, man, that guy was courteous? Even, I disagree, but he was so courteous in how he went about talking to me. So what does it look like to be courteous? And again, I'm different scenarios play itself out, but I've been wrestling with this all week. What would it look like for Christians to be courteous, right? What if you wanted to go visit someone and they said, hey, just so you know, I'm kind of taking this thing a little seriously, would love to visit with you, but would you mind wearing a mask as we visit? Would that be you showing weakness or showing courtesy, right? Wrestle with that. Because I think oftentimes it's just kind of like, well, fine, I'm not going to visit you then. I disagree with you. Well, what does showing courtesy look like? And listen, I'm not telling you to wear a mask or not wear a mask. You're adults. You can figure out what you believe in. But how do you show courtesy with people that you disagree with? So I think Paul lays out some really good challenges for followers of Jesus. But I want you to notice, here's what's key. And you'll notice this in every single writing of Paul's. Anytime instruction is given for how to live, the underlying reason is always the gospel. Paul does this in every writing. Look at verse 3. Paul says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, hating one another. Like Paul's reminding them, hey, Let me remind you what you used to be like. Think about what Jesus has saved you from. Like, you used to be insolent, disobedient, disrespectful. You hated people, and people hated you, and you were filled with envy and malice and slaves to pleasure. Paul is saying, remember that. Like, remember how you used to be. And then in verse 4, he says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So don't you just love that? Paul, nowhere in any of Paul's writing does Paul ever tell the church, hey, just be better. Right? He doesn't just place a burden on them saying, you got to perform better. Come on, buck up a little bit. Start being better. He tells them, be obedient, speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, show courtesy. But the motivation behind all of that, he reminds them, what's the motivation? It's the gospel. It's Jesus. He says, remember what you used to be like. And remember don't you remember how Jesus actually saved you from that? Not because of your own goodness, but because of the washing of the Holy Spirit. And he says, church, you've been justified. You've been renewed. You've been restored. Therefore, in light of all of that truth, live like this. Like that's the motivation. Live in response to what is true of the gospel. Not just doing them and checking the box because there's a burden on us and we feel bad. But the motivation is, right, I know what I used to be like. I know what Jesus has done for me. I know the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in my life to sanctify me. And out of love and allegiance to Jesus, I want to obey authority. I want to do good works. I want to not speak evil and avoid quarreling. I want to be kind and courteous towards all people. So Christian living, obedience to Jesus, always comes down to a heart issue. And so the key to living this out is not simply what you do, but how you do it and why you do it. And then Paul actually repeats himself in verse 8. He says, the saying is trustworthy. And I want you to insist on these things so that those who've believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable to people. Isn't that so good? Paul says, here's how I want you to live. Here's what you used to be like. Here's the gospel. And then he says, insist on these things, not just because we're buzzkills and we want you to lead strict lives. He says, because it's good for you. Paul says it's excellent and profitable for people to actually live like this, right? God knows what he's talking about when he says, this is how I want you to live. It's for your own good. It's excellent and it's profitable for you if you obey. So I wanted to give us some practical ways that we can put some of this into action. Like how do we do this? How do we show gentleness? How do we speak no evil to anyone? How do we show perfect courtesy to all people? How do we, you know, be submissive to authorities? How do we do this in the midst of COVID? As a church, but then also individually, as followers of Jesus, how do we actually live this out? And like I said at the beginning, it is so often not so much what we say, but how we say it. So for instance, after church, I could go and get a box and stand on the corner of 100th and 100th with a big sign that says, you shouldn't fear COVID, Jesus is better, ask me about it, or something like that. Now, is that going to reach anybody? Maybe, but more than likely, probably not. And sure, I could be saying all true things, but it's not what I'm saying, it's how I'm saying it. How do I go about so that I can win a hearing from unbelievers, so that I can actually win an opportunity to share the gospel with them? Like, that's the motivation. Is yelling on a street corner going to win me a hearing for people to hear the gospel? Probably not. So I think we want to ask, okay, how? What's our attitude and our posture in the way that we do things in this season? Like, unfortunately, I know lots of Christians personally that are burning bridges left, right, and center, not because of the gospel, but simply how they're living, right? One writer said, the gospel is offensive, but that doesn't give you permission to be offensive, right? Like, the gospel is offensive enough. We preach the gospel, and 1 Corinthians says it's offensive to people, but that doesn't give us a right to be offensive, right? And I hear that all the time. People get rejected and shut down, and they go, well, it's just the gospel. No, you're just being a jerk. It's not the gospel that's offending them. You are offending them. Like, that's, there's a difference, right? And so we want to, yes, the gospel offends people. Let people be offended by that, not by the way that you live your life. So three challenges I want to give you as we think, how do we navigate the season that we're in? And again, I think here's the tendency, right? Maybe some of us are feeling a little bit convicted, going, you know I have all week. Am I being perfectly courteous towards everyone? No. Am I being gentle and avoiding quarreling and speaking evil of no one and submitting and being obedient? No. And so here's the tendency, though, is that we feel bad, and then you're going to hear some ways to maybe take some steps, and oftentimes the response is, well, I feel bad, so now, fine, I'll go do these things so I feel a little bit less guilty, right? And that's not the motivation for this. The motivation is, man, my heart is being changed by the Holy Spirit. I want to actually live like this. So the first point of application is found in verse 1. Be submissive to rulers and authorities. And I know that this one is hard. I know it is. But listen, so far, the government is not asking you to do anything that is sinful or contradicts the Bible. Will it go there? I don't know. Maybe. It could. But so far, and yes, depending on your point of view, it's frustrating, it's annoying, sure. But nothing that is being asked of you is compromising your faith in Jesus. It's not, right? And I hear Christians say this, you know, this and that, it's persecution and it's against the Bible. There is nothing that the government is asking you to do that is against the Bible or following Jesus. Not yet, anyways. But listen, I'm with you. Like, hear me out. I am with you. It is difficult to be submissive to our leaders when maybe certain decisions that are being made don't make sense to you or it's frustrating. I get that. But so often we do this, right? I will submit to authority that I agree with or that is fair in my own eyes or that doesn't require too much inconvenience. I'll submit to that for sure. That's easy. So even as a church, we've said we will obey the laws that come down and the recommendations that come down. We'll just weigh them out and consider what we're going to do with them. And so even though I would love to just kick the doors open and have 400 people here, the law says 50. Okay, we'll submit to that. But here's more and more what I'm seeing, and even seeing in my own heart, Christians responding to inconveniences or frustrations by speaking evil or willingly rebelling or not showing perfect courtesy. So let me give you an example, not even the government, but Walmart says, you know what, to come and shop, please wear a mask. That's the new rule. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and post a scathing post about how stupid Walmart is and how dumb it is that I have to do that. Or maybe even someone, I'm going to go to Walmart and make a big scene about my rights and my freedoms. Here's a thought. Go to a different store. Honestly. And I know we laugh at that, but like seriously, you could, right? You could. You could go and type up a big angry comment about how silly that is and then go to Walmart and try and fight the power or just go to Canadian Tire, for goodness sake. Or if you really need something from Walmart, put a mask on and go buy it. Like, we do this as Christians though, right? Like we just get so angry about things and then we respond like anybody else that doesn't have the Holy Spirit. And to just go, take a step back and go, okay, am I doing this out of anger? Am I showing courtesy to people? Am I being gentle? Am I speaking evil of people? I think bare minimum, if I were to give you a bare minimum way that you could begin to respect and submit to authority, is that you would commit to pray for our leaders. Like, can I be honest with you? I think I spend way more time criticizing and even slandering our leaders than actually praying for them. So maybe as a step towards submitting to authority, maybe you would commit, you know what, once a week, once a day, whatever it is, I'm just going to pray for Adrian Dix and pray for Dr. Bonnie Henry. I'm going to pray for John Horgan. I'm just going to pray for those people who have positions of authority that they would just have wisdom from God. Rather than complain, I'm just going to pray. So secondly, and this one is a specific 21st century way to live out verses 1 and 2, but think before you post. Or if you're not a internet social media person, think before you speak. To avoid speaking evil of people or quarreling or being gentle or showing perfect courtesy, to just kind of take a step back and go, before I post this, before I speak this, am I speaking evil? Am I being gentle? Am I showing courtesy? Because so much, unfortunately, of what I see posted and so much of what I am tempted to post is not helpful. It's speaking evil. It's adding to quarreling. It's not gentle. It's actually quite harsh. It's not courteous, but it's quite rude. And so I think a really good exercise in self-control is just asking the Holy Spirit, okay, God, before, and I've literally in the weeks past had my fingers on the keyboard, just wanting to respond so badly. And just going, okay, God, am I actually adding and helping? Or am I just speaking out of anger? And am I just being discourteous and rude and harsh with people? So for instance, someone could post a news story about the importance of wearing a mask. And maybe you would disagree with that. You could post, bunch of sheep just following whatever they tell you to do. You could post that. Or you could just let it go. And have your opinion about whatever. But ask, okay, is what I'm commenting and doing and saying, is it actually helpful? Or write a live stream from the daily live stream from Dr. Henry giving updates. You could comment, it's a scam, she has no idea what she's talking about. Or you could post, hey, Dr. Henry, just praying for you. Like, can you imagine that? Hey, just letting you know that the Christians in Fort St. John were praying for you every day. Can't imagine the decisions you have to make. We are praying for you, Bonnie. I think that would speak volumes. So here's what I want to challenge you with. As you grow in discernment and self-control, it's important to think before we speak or post things. And lastly, as far as application, ask yourself, how can I engage in good works during this season? Paul, twice in our passage, he emphasized good works. Verse 1, he says, be ready for every good work. And verse 8, he says, devote yourselves to good works. And so then to begin to think, well, what would that look like? What are good works? And listen, there are hundreds of things that you could do. And I know that you are smart and creative and you can think of ways. I just wrote down some. What would it look like to financially help people who have lost jobs because of COVID? Maybe it's the Beyond Benevolent Fund that we started here where, you know, if you have a skill, hey, I can drywall, I can do plumbing, I can change people's oil. And during this season, if there's people that are going, I can't afford that, we can go, hey, we'll do it for you. Or what if it's picking up groceries for vulnerable people or offering childcare for people who need to go back to work? I mean, and on and on and on and on. We could spend all day brainstorming ideas for how we could do good work. The goal being not just, right, I'm just going to do good works for the sake of doing it or because I feel guilty. The goal being I'm hoping that I can win a hearing from unbelievers so that I can share the gospel with them. And so you serve and you love and you show compassion and gentleness with the hopes of people asking, why are you doing this? Right? Why are you doing this for me? And that we wouldn't just say, well, I'm just trying to be a nice person, but we would say, because of what Jesus has done for me, I just want to love you. Like, Jesus has done an amazing thing in my life, and I just want to serve you and help you and show you the love of Jesus. So begin to think, right? How can I submit to authority? How can I pray for my leaders? Secondly, think before you post. Is this helpful? Is this gentle? Is this courteous as I say or post things? And then thirdly, God, what are good works that I can begin to do so that I earn a hearing with an unbeliever to share the gospel? So we want to spend some time in prayer together. Because like I said, here's the tightrope that we walk. The tendency can be, and this is human nature, anytime you talk practically, the tendency can be, okay, fine. I will set an alarm in my phone once a week to pray for my leaders. Fine. Or sure, okay, I'm going to stop posting things. Or I'm going to try and be nice to my neighbors or whatever. And we can do that because that's human tendency. What is the bare minimum I have to do so I don't feel bad? Rather than going, okay, where's my heart at? Right? What's the motivation behind all this? Because without the Holy Spirit changing you, there will be no lasting change. And so we want to end our time together just corporately confessing and repenting of sin. Because I think if we're honest, we all have things to repent of in this season. Maybe you've reacted poorly to all the changes. Maybe you haven't trusted in God's provision and you've lived in fear and anxiety. Maybe you've slandered and spoken evil of our leaders. Maybe you've been harsh and rude towards people you don't agree with. And so we actually want to give space, and Christy's going to come and just kind of play quietly. We want to give you, you know, 3 or 4 minutes just to pray silently, just you and God, and confess sin and repent. Here's some slides. There'll be slides just as prompters for things for you to consider. You know, pray for our leaders. Pray for Bonnie Henry, pray for Adrian Dix, pray for John Horgan, pray that God would give them wisdom. Next slide, ask, or rather confess and repent of speaking evil of people. Confess and repent of being harsh and rough with your words. Confess and repent of not submitting to authority. The next slide, ask God for self-control in what you say and post. Ask God for creativity to do good works during COVID. Ask God for wisdom in how we actually live our lives during COVID. So I want to encourage you. We're going to give you 3 or 4 minutes. Just pray, confess, repent of things that, attitudes or things that you've said or or ways that, so I'll just be honest. I mean, this week I have been so convicted and being somewhat two-faced, coming up here and being like, yeah, it's all fine, things are great, and yeah, I'm not bothered at all by any of this, and then going home and just having such anger and slander in my heart towards people who make decisions. And it's wrong, it's sin. So I've had to this week just go, oh God, forgive me. Like, help me not to just maybe off from the outside do all the right things, but God, just change my heart. So take a moment and just pray, and then we'll end our time together. So go ahead and do that.